Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Here are some of the things women can do because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Women have the right to sign a mortgage without a man. They have the right to have a bank account without a male co-signer. The right to be pregnant or have kids and still work. The right to work without gender discrimination. It was Ginsburg's work as an attorney which changed all this. Before she became only the second woman to serve on the Supreme Court of the United States, RBG co-founded the ACLU Women's Rights Project in the 70s, where she successfully used the 14th Amendment to change so much. It's just one part of a fascinating life, documented in the Academy Award-nominated documentary, RBG. The film follows Ruth Bader from her roots as a New Yorker to her marriage to Martin Ginsburg. Her time as a student at Harvard Law, where she was only woman in her class, transferring to Columbia Law School and was tied for first in her graduating class there, as well as her rise to the Supreme Court. In honor of her life, CNN rebroadcast RBG this past weekend, and it will be available on demand on CNN Go platforms until next Saturday. Joining me now are the film's directors, who, full disclosure, are friends of mine. Betsy West. Hi, Betsy.
Invitation. I needed that.
Hi, Julie. Thanks, and Julie Cohen. Julie, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Allison. Good to be here.
So, Betsy, of the many tributes coming in, they describe Ruth Bader Ginsburg as being a fighter. What was behind her being a fighter?
Well, I think that there was a lot of discrimination behind her being a fighter. As you mentioned, top in her law school class gets out in the early 1960s, and she can't get a job because she's a woman. And she was really motivated to change the kind of unconscious and conscious discrimination against women that people just took for granted back then. But, you know, the one thing about the way she fought that I think is so interesting is that, you know, her quote that I love so much, you know, fight for the things that you care about, but do it in a way that will lead others to join you. She was a very pragmatic and a very strategic fighter.
Julie, given what we've all been going through in this past year, is there something from the film or something she said to you in the course of making the film that has a special resonance?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think RBG's whole life has an immense amount of resonance right now because of the way that she dealt with challenges, whether it was that discrimination that Betsy was talking about or personal challenges such as her mom's and then her husband's and then her own serious cancer, or challenges like the current environment that we're facing politically. Her view was always to take the long view and always to take the optimistic view. You know, she was a big fan of that famous Martin Luther King Jr. quote, the arc of moral history is long, but it bends towards justice. I think sometimes it's really hard, like that arc right now is feeling pretty darn long. She always took the view, you know, it's a pendulum, it's an arc, things are going to improve, keep quietly fighting. And I think we would all do, because, you know, what's the alternative? You'd like curl up, you meditate and never pop out of it. You know, the thing that she stressed was to keep on fighting.
Now, the way the film came about is interesting because, Betsy, you were working on a series about groundbreaking women called Makers, and that's when you first interviewed her. At what point did you realize, gosh, there's really a whole film that could be about this woman's life?
Yeah, well, I was pretty first intimidated and then absolutely bowled over when I interviewed Justice Ginsburg in 2011. And then Julie also interviewed her for a documentary she did, The Sturgeon Queens, about Russ and Daughters, because Justice Ginsburg, a great Brooklyn gal that she was a fan of Russ and Daughters. And really, it was in 2015, a few years after that she had just exploded on the internet following a couple of blistering dissents in two decisions that pulled back on voting rights protections and involving reproductive rights. She was known as the notorious RBG. At that time, Julie and I were talking, And we said, you know, people are really Ginsburg, but we have a feeling a lot of them don't know the full story, don't know about his life in the 70s to...
Betsy, we're losing your cell phone. So while we figure you out, I'm gonna pivot to Julie
yes,
for a moment.
I will pick up just where Betsy left off, which is, you know, there were all these memes, there were T-shirts, there were people even getting RBG's tattoo, her face tattooed on their shoulders, an aspect of this which, by the way, she is not a fan of. But for all this attention and the SNL skits, you know, a lot of people just didn't know this whole history of everything she had done in the 1970s to secure women's rights and gender equality under the U.S. Constitution. So, like, what a perfect opportunity to make a movie about a pop icon sort of on its face that actually is a movie about the power of constitutional law.
My guests are Julie Cohen and Betsy West. The name of their film is RBG, which you can stream on CNN Go platforms until next week and at other sources. So, Betsy, I'm going to see if we got your phone figured out here. You know, we talked about all these people.
I think I'm back.
There you go. All these people who loved Ruth Bader Ginsburg, admired her. But, you know, your film opens with a chorus of voices saying a lot of bad things about her. Why did you want to start the film that way?
Well, I think we thought that it really represented the kind of opposition to her that she faced, and that it was just a fun way to, at the same time we're showing all the statues, all of them, by the way, men, because we know that's who people make statues of, and to hear the voices of men saying these ridiculous, demeaning things about her. And we just thought, well, that will set up the kind of feistiness and her reaction to that, you know, in a powerful way. So, that, you know, but the, I will tell you that sitting in the Sundance Film Festival when we premiered the film, Justice Ginsburg was across the aisle from us. She had not seen the film. And so when those opening scenes came up, I was just thinking, oh, my God, what is she going to do? And we were staring at her. And she immediately just started laughing right away. She thought it was so funny. So that was what we were going for, and we were happy that our number one audience liked it.
Julie, you know, you set out to make a film, and you have goals and plans and outlines, but things change, especially during your making documentaries. What was something that changed along the way in making this documentary?
Whoa, Allison, something huge happened. We started, we set out to make this film in early 2015. So the main thing that happened was a change of administration. Very bitterly divided electoral season period, and followed by the unexpected election of Donald Trump, really changing the context in which people looked at RBG as a fighter and dissenter. I mean, the truth is when you know, you say you have outlines, you know, we also have you also have these little internal debates of, like, is this film going to work and what are the potential problems? And one of the big questions we were asking ourselves and each other in early 2015 is, like, you know, sure, Notorious RBG is a big deal now. Is anyone going to care about her, like, in 2 or 3 years when this film comes out? And of course, because of the entrance of Donald Trump into the picture, people cared all the more about RBG.
It was interesting, Betsy, the review of your film by A.O. Scott in the Times. It said, in RBG, the life and times of a beloved and controversial Supreme Court justice. What did you see as controversial? Is that a word you would use?
You know, I'm not sure. I think she was a galvanizing force, and I guess some people, you know, many on the far right would find her, you know, would disagree with her views. But she was someone who actually had great respect, great relationships, and great respect across the aisle. I mean, she, as we showed, best friend was Antonin Scalia, was very important for her to maintain really good relationship with everybody. And we had a hard time finding anybody to say negative things about RBG. I mean, I think that's true, Julie. We were calling around. Everybody was basically respected her, admired her as a jurist, and admired her approach, even if they disagreed with her ideologically.
Absolutely. Often even kind of secret admiration. We reached out to a number of conservative legal beagles, hoping for them to share some criticisms of her. And a common response we got was like, you know, don't tell anybody, but like, I love RBG.
A great part of the film, we learned so much about her life before her life growing up, before she was ever on the Supreme Court. And a big part of the film, Betsy, is about her marriage to Marty and what a supportive husband he was. And she was a supportive wife as well, but he really, in many ways, was ahead of his time as much as she was. How did he make it possible for her to pursue her professional dreams?
Well, you know, RBG loved to talk about Marty. I mean, he died a decade before she did. And whenever you'd mention his name, her face would just light up. I mean, she adored him. And she would always say that Marty was the first boy who was interested in her because she had a brain. I mean, she was a very beautiful woman when she went to Cornell and didn't lack for dates. But Marty saw something really special in her. And as their marriage went along, things changed. At the beginning of the marriage, Marty was trying to make partner in New York, and she was taking the main responsibility for raising their children, first their daughter and Jane, and then Jim came along. And but as she began in the late 60s, early 70s to start this women's rights project, and she's arguing before the Supreme Court, Marty is realizing, whoa, look at what she's doing. Look at how important this is. And the balance of power shifted a little bit. So I think that was the first thing that he did. It was a marriage, feminist marriage at a time when that was uncommon. And then I think he also helped her as she progressed. He famously was known for floating her name before President Clinton with, you know, his friends, and making sure that she was among those jurists who were considered for an opening on the Supreme Court.
How did she feel, Julie, how did she feel about politics in the court?
You know, like a lot of the justices, I mean, it's hard to see from outside the context of the court, where we often only hear about their super polarizing ideological cases. Actually, a huge portion of what the court does truly is not political. There is often general agreement or even complete, like, unanimous consensus on a whole lot of cases that the court takes. So I think that makes it easier. Justice Ginsburg very much wanted to look at the law in each case and not necessarily make it about larger political, the political questions of the day. There certainly are some liberals that note that they don't love every decision that she wrote, particularly certain ones on environmental issues. Sometimes when, you know, a statute is, when the court is kind of trying to decide, like, is a state law unconstitutional? Like, it's not like you're making a judgment necessarily on a pipeline when you decide a case like that. And she always wanted to, you know, believe in kind of the larger principles of the rule of law, and of, you know, her main focus, those four words on the face of the Supreme Court: equal justice under law.
My guests are the directors of RBG, Betsy West and Julie Cohn. You know, she had a moment in 2016, Betsy, when she uncharacteristically spoke out about she dipped her toe into politics. She called candidate Trump a faker, and she couldn't really imagine what it would be like if he became president. Do you have a sense of why that happened?
You know, I think she said later on it was a mistake to have spoken as she did. I don't think she ever changed that opinion. But she certainly realized that that she shouldn't have said it, and so she walked it back.
Julie, what is a very RBG thing about the way she handled her illness?
Oh, she, yeah, I think RBG, was that her RBGS when she was confronting the serious cancers, both colon cancer and pancreatic cancer, that she spent the past 20 years on and off fighting. You know, the two RBG things about her response was that, number one, she was always fighting. She did every treatment she could. She was going to, you know, she was not going to give in easily to this, you know, very vicious disease. And number two, her optimism always shone through. We included in our film something that she said in a public appearance at Cornell when she was asked what impact cancer had had on her life. And she talked about, you know, the difficulty of going through, in some cases, cycles of radiation and chemotherapy, as well as dealing with the pain of the cancer itself. And she said, you know, the thing that cancer has given me is an appreciation for the joys of being alive. That is a really optimistic way to look at a painful terminal disease. And it's just so characteristic of RBG's whole way of handling every challenge that was thrown at her throughout her life.
Betsy,
I was just going to add extraordinary courage. You know, when we had our opening in Washington of the film in Washington, her assistant called us that day and said, you know, she is really not feeling well today, but she's coming, because she had committed to coming. And so she went to the screening, she sat through this Q&A, and she left quickly thereafter. I think she was feeling pretty badly, but she tried as much as she could to keep her commitments. She was very courageous.
Before I let you go, what is something that each of you learned from her, from spending time with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that you still think about today?
I'm going to go first.
Betsy, you go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. I mean, I think that her admonition from her mother to not let emotions like anger get the best of you. It's not as if you're not going to feel angry about things, and there's lots to be angry about. But she took the view that you shouldn't, that it was counterproductive, that you should not try, that you should not get consumed by anger, and that you should take the long view and try to figure out a way to get to where you want to go.
Julie, last word?
I'd say one thing that I learned was kind of a different way to think about power. You know, when you sort of think the stereotype, what is power? You kind of envision a very large, very loud man. And here was this really tiny, very soft-spoken, elderly woman, and yet power just like radiated from her. And I think the other thing Betsy and I both learned was the importance of planking. After having been in the gym watching her do her workout routine, soon after that Betsy started planking and acknowledged to me that she had done so, and then I followed suit, and we learned from many viewers of our film that they had started planking too, sometimes in shame, because like, if this lady can hold a plank for that long, like I've got to get to the gym myself.
The name of the film is RBG. It's streaming on Hulu. I've been speaking with directors Julie Cohn and Betsy West. Julie and Betsy, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Allison.